Welcome everyone joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club's Technical Question and Answer Net. I'm Roy, AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, and Bob KD2NVB will be my co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our answers as well as promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its web pages. We also offer original articles and reviews on many topics covered during these technical nets. We also publish technical puzzles for our participants to ponder as a starting off point to discuss important technical concepts. Tonight's TechNet puzzle is posted on our club website. The link can be found on the front page of our website in orange color type, but if you would like a simple URL to find it, just type into your browser puzzle.kc2rc.com. Also, we will be offering a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater signal. Just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com, and we also have an Echo Link node available for use. Just point your Echo Link application to the node kc2rc-r. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesdays of each and every month. All of this information can also be found on our club website, which is www.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club, and as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. No question is too simple, no question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only if they have questions or comments for this net. Please give us your first name, your call sign, whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try to provide a cogent answer. Bob KD2NVB will join in as well. If any other listener has any further facts or opinions, they will be free to break in with the word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experiences to us all. If anyone has any suggestions for future topics of interest here on the Technical Net, please let us know either here on the Technical Net or via email. Our email address is tech@kc2rc.com. And now I would like to introduce my co-host for this net, Bob KD2NVB. Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, Roy. Good evening, everybody out there. So looking forward to a good net tonight. Back to you, Roy. This is post-field day net.
Yes, indeed. I hope that some people tell us how they spent their field day. I know you were very active at our field day site, so I'm looking forward to hear some fish stories. Once again, I'm AC2GS. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. So if there's anyone out there with any questions or comments, please hit that push-to-talk button. Give us your first name and your call sign. Well, Bob, it looks like it's another Kings County Radio Club Technical Net with the usual slow startup. Hopefully, as time goes on, there'll be more people who pop by and remember that we're here, and more activity. We'll give it another try, though. Once again, I remain AC2GS. My name remains Roy. This remains the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 9 p.m. To discuss technology and technical aspects, primarily of amateur radio, but we'll discuss any technology you want to bring to the net here. So with in mind, if you're out there and you have either a question or a comment, then hit that push to talk button, give me your first name and your call sign. Well, once again, it looks like it's you and me, Bob, at least at the beginning. So let me ask you the magic question. How was your field day? How did things go at Floyd Bennett Field this weekend?
Well, I didn't get there till roughly 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. I usually get there around 5:30 or 6, but I stayed the whole night. But I was told that there were a whole bunch of people earlier in the afternoon. Like, they said, 19 people had been there, not at the same time necessarily, but so I missed all of that. But yeah, there were still, I don't know, what were there, like 5, 6 people, something like that. Max was there, Berlot was there, of course. this new guy, Sean, and he had our, and we used his radio. I mean, there were a couple of radios, but that was, he just bought a brand new Yaesu, the FT-10, something like that. It's the latest one that used to be the 920, 950 and all those. It was a very nice radio. I mean, our GOT came in the morning, was doing CW, and he thought it was a very nice radio. He knows a lot, he's been through a lot of radios. So I was up all night. I guess I probably spent more time doing it. The last couple of years I got more than 100 contacts. This time I only got like 30-some contacts. It just seemed to be more difficult. I think the propagation wasn't quite as good. But, I mean, there were people on there, but it was just moving slower getting contacts. But it was fun. I mean, and of course I did a little birding in the morning. That's right on the beach there. All these interesting birds. But, and so more people came in the morning, and it was good. And the funny thing is they predicted all this rain. We didn't see any rain. It was actually sunny much of the time, and actually the weather was nice. It was quite nice and cool. And anyway, that's kind of a brief summary. Other guys who were there at different times could tell you other things. So if other things come up, that are interesting, I'll let you know. Back to you.
Okay, very good. I'm glad you had fun there. Of course, you checked into the 10-meter net, and Max did, and Berlot did, so that was nice to hear all of you. Usually in the past, I think people were busy elsewhere, but it was very kind of you three to check in. I was talking to Howie MSU, KD2MSU, on the 10-meter net. He's kind of depressed that we had missed the storm. He kind of likes erratic weather and bad weather for sundry reasons. And he kept on talking about how it was only 7/100ths of an inch of precipitation that dew produces more precipitation than the rain that we got. So we were very fortunate. Unfortunately, Floyd Bennett Field is poorly designed. It has very bad drainage. If there's a real squall, it basically washes out field day for us. So we were very lucky that we didn't get much of any rainfall. So it didn't impact upon field day at all this weekend. So I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. And Berlot sent a few pictures around, so I got an idea of what was going on there. So good. Success story.
I actually shot a few pictures myself, and some of them are kind of nice. Prose shots and some candid shots of people breaking down the camp. So I guess I should just send them up to the website.
Okay. Every so often I talk to Mitch about setting things up, and I'm not quite sure. It never seems to happen, or it happens on a page that I'm unaware of. So I have seen pictures on the web of field days. What I would like to see in someday in the future is someone putting legends on them, because ultimately these things, you don't even quite recognize who some of these people are. So it's nice to identify them with a little legend or something.
Right. I'm embarrassed. I don't even know the names of all the people that I took pictures of. Well, I can find out. I can ask Berlot. I can do stuff like that. I can get their call signs and all that kind of stuff. Or I'll just know a first name. But, yeah, I can try to piece that together. I got a few pictures, like 20-some pictures or something like that.
AC2GS, the more the merrier. We can never have too many pictures. There was this very weird time many years ago. This was probably before you joined the club. We had a whole slew of sudden deaths. The president died, and the secretary died, and a couple of members died, long before the pandemic. And people got kind of depressed, and the only pictures that anyone posted up on the website were of dead hams. And, you know, I kind of kept annoying them that, you know, that's nice, but we got to kind of move on to the living. And so they retired those images. So, you know, it's nice to have a picture record of the field day. It'll give people an idea of what it's like, that the ones who didn't show up, and maybe we can motivate them to try visiting next year. So it's all good.
Yes, I'll have to do that. I've been in contact for a lot too, Shpreis. And I know that Victor took some pictures also, and maybe some, probably other people did with their phones.
ZV.
Hello, William. How are you today?
Hi, Roy. AC2ZV. I hear you and Bob talking about the photos. We talked about that on the 2-meter net last night. Looks like Berlot's got a lot of photos, and a lot of people have a lot of photos. John took some, you know, and there's going to be a lot. I encourage everybody to send them to the website, so hopefully we'll talk about that at the next meeting.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll put it out on the agenda, although it'll probably just be part of the usual post field day assessment. But I'll put a little item, a pen to that for next Wednesday.
Fantastic. Anyway, I can't stay very long tonight, but I heard you and Bob talking, so I thought I'd say hi and see if you get any more check-ins.
Okay, very good. Thanks for coming by and saying hello. We always need participation for this net. You know, the 2-meter net, you can kind of check in, check out, and you know, all it's good. But, you know, if you don't have people having conversations on a technical net, it gets rather dry. So I thank you for checking in, William.
See if anybody checks in. If not, I've got a couple of comments to chat with you about. Then I'll have to go in about 10 or 15 minutes. So let's put out the call and see if you get any questions.
Yes, indeed. Let's give it a try. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 p.m. If you're out there and you have a question or a comment for the Technical Net tonight, then please hit that push-to-talk button, give us your first name, and your call sign. Well, William, it looks like it's just us chickens.
They'll show up a little later. We'll just shoot the breeze for a few minutes. Anyway, hey, Bob, what did you do for field day? I didn't check in with you yet on that.
I'll just say very briefly what I already said to Roy shortly before you came on. I was there like Saturday at 7:30-ish in the evening and stayed all night and, you know, through the end and helped break down. Up all night making contacts. Make as many as the last couple of years. It seemed like the propagation wasn't as good. It was just harder to get the contacts. It probably wasn't as good, the weather conditions or something. We had people out there, and there were a bunch of people who came before I came. I heard there had been about 19 people that had shown up before me, and a lot of them had left, and a few were there. I was there. Berlot was there when I was there, and so was Max. So was a new member, Sean, I don't know his call sign, and he had a nice FX-10, is that what it is? The new Yaesu that's in that line of the 950 and all those. Very nice radio. That's what I was using. That's what TOT and other people were using. So, anyway, you'll hear from other people that were there when I wasn't there and stuff, but the weather was very nice. Didn't rain. It was sunny a lot of the time, and it was not that hot at all. It was nice, and it was not super windy like so many times when you're trying to set up and break down. The tents are threatening to like fly away. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell. Back to you.
I had a pretty good time too. I realized I really wasn't able to do it because physically I wouldn't be able to stand around all day long, and there's no place, you know, for me to be. So I figured it really wasn't my place. So I decided I would monitor the repeater over the weekend and see if anybody made contact, and I made a few contacts. The highlight was I spoke to Monica for a while, and she told us about what they were doing on the Columbia, and I spoke to a couple other people, and that was fun. But mostly, everybody stayed off the repeater, and I don't know if anybody even tried. It seemed like we thought it was too far from where you are for anybody to hit the repeater with a radio.
Certainly would be too far with an HT, which is, I think, the only 2 meter. Well, that's not true. One guy had a, I don't know his name, there's one guy there with a Dicom 7100, so he could have switched to 2 meters if he'd wanted to, but, so who knows, maybe if he'd done it, but he didn't have a 2 meter antenna, that was probably not. So you're probably right.
I was thinking maybe somebody could do with Echolink, but then I realized there's probably much more fun things going on than to shout out over Echolink to maybe nobody, so more fun to be on the radio and be out there meeting people and doing things. So I hope you had a great time. I had a nice time that day too, you know, doing what I did, so it was all good.
I bet you no one was on the repeater because they were probably all on HF trying to do field day. That's my guess.
That's what it was. Anyway, people have scanners and stuff. They know what's going on, but they can talk on the repeater all the time. And it's more about making new contacts and finding out what's on other bands than dealing with what you know. It's the devil you don't know that you're looking for.
Interesting devil.
Okay, very good. Want to mention that the ace is probably an FTDX10. That's the closest thing I can think of to a Yaesu transceiver. Nice radio. What can I tell you? Repeaters are never really active during field day. People who kind of use repeaters are not always the same people who go to HF and do field days and such. The only practical application I've seen in the past of using repeaters is just as a means to direct people to the location of the active field day that day. In the same way that when clubs have ham fests and such, they usually leave some guy on their repeater to direct traffic to the location of the ham fest.
That seems about what was going on. Anyway, I was having fun playing with the radio and doing other little tours around the house, so it was fine with me. I also heard from a couple of guys on the ARS that they went to the Limart one and maybe another one in a different location. I don't know what everybody did, but there were lots of locations active for field day.
Oh, okay. That's good to hear. I think Bob doubled with you. I don't know who the other person was, but someone obviously was doubling on your signal. I could hear you perfectly. I couldn't hear the other person that well. So, Bob, was that you?
Yes, it was. I just said that, what did I say? I said that makes sense about what you said about the repeaters, and also that was the model of the radio, and I added that you could find that radio. I think it's when you first turn the cover into the first page of any QST of recent origin, and that's the big model they got pictured there in the ad.
Okay, yeah, you know, like I said, it's a nice radio. The big three always come up with nice radios, and there's a couple of American manufacturers that make nice radios. I don't really know of any full-featured, known-name brand radio that's particularly bad. You know, they're all quite fine.
Yeah, I just remember what Howard said. I mean, I just used very... Howard knows a lot more of the fine points of radios, and he thought it was a very nice intuitive interface. So that was nice. I haven't always heard that about Yaesu radios. Back to you.
Well, I think the problem with some of the Yaesus is they're designed to be compact, and once you squeeze them into a very small volume, you're stuck with a lack of control mechanisms and indicators. So the DX10 is a significantly sized radio, so it doesn't have the constraints of the lower power, more portable / mobile Yaesu radios that are out there that are not the greatest to change menu selections, as say something like the DX10 might be.
I mean, it, like those kind of radios, it had tons of buttons, and I think once you learn the layout, it's probably easy. And I kind of like that myself, to confess. I like those, all those different buttons, and once you know what they are, just hit the button, you do this, you do that. And, so it's definitely for the people that like lots of knobs and buttons, and it's all there. It's probably not much menu crawling, I'm guessing.
I would assume that for the DX10, it's a kind of compromise between the two extremes. There have been, usually in the past, transceivers that were just from top to bottom and right to left, an endless column of buttons, only broken up by some indicators and a couple of knobs and such. I think that was a little overkill. I don't mind not having buttons and knobs and such. A lot of my equipment from the SDR world is surface controlled, so I don't mind it. But especially old timers really like their buttons and their dials and indicators and mechanical meters and all that stuff. They really cotton to it. So, you show them something like the 6700, where it's just a box with a single little, alphanumeric display, and they just wrinkle up their nose and say, I guess so.
Roy, got a comment.
Like you say, this one's in between. The ones with, like, I'm just, compared to, because I have the 7100, which is more menus than buttons, and the menus are pretty well laid out, but to me, it looked like a lot of buttons, but you're right. It's not like I've seen photos of some of those radios. It was just buttons everywhere.
Yeah, I think it's good to have a happy medium in that way. William, what do you want to say?
One thing I've noticed in the world that I come from is that the buttons were all there on these large control surfaces. If you've seen those video switchers with all those hundreds and hundreds of buttons all over them, it looked like aircraft carriers. The trend now is to move more towards surfaces that have, select groups of buttons that you can call up in software. Just get the ones you need at your fingertips and dispense with the rest and make life easy. So I think there's an idea for the surface to really be more powerful in the future. And people like to have virtual meters and virtual buttons and stuff if they like to control surface interface.
AC2GS. Well, but then you said the magic word for those people who like the surface interface. Oh, a lot of old-timers really don't. They're comfortable with what they're used to, and they're not used to surface controls. In the old days, it was before the CPUs, the microprocessors, everything had a direct switch hooked up to a direct circuit. And, you couldn't kind of put levels of menus upon menus because you need a CPU to do that. So, and also the real estate, people will not buy a massive transceiver anymore. They'll buy a medium-sized one or a small one, but I don't think, I think it would be very problematic to try and sell someone one of those boat anchor size transceivers. So you have a limited space, and also modern technology allows for much prettier data display. So in the past, all you had was illuminated a slider for frequency settings, and a couple of indicator lights. Now you got spectrums and pan adapters and waterfalls and all kinds of fun stuff. So I think the consumer is more interested in that than direct contact with first-level buttons. So they'll suffer first-level, second-level, third-level, fourth-level submenus and what have you to give them a prettier display on the front.
Know of anybody that is putting out a radio, that mobile radio, that'll go into one of these electric cars, that'll basically have the control surface come up on the dashboard with all of those fancy gadgets you were talking about as a part while you're driving down the road?
To my knowledge, no. That would be a very, very specific, unless there was a standard. And sometimes companies will circle around and accept standards like CIV. But with things like that and with the demand so negligible, my guess would be no. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't kind of kludge something together. You can get an iPad. And you can hook up an iPad to the dashboard of a relatively new car. And there's a lot of software that allows you to interface through something like an iPad and an MFJ123A, I think, is the remote control computer, little Raspberry Pi. So you can do something similar, but I don't think it's ever going to be kind of built in.
I can really see using the either a small display or else an iPad or something like that. So anyway, and that's what I'm thinking the future is going to look like. Just keep imagining how fast we're all driving towards this new paradigm.
Well, again, it sort of depends upon the demand. You have to understand that although there are 750,000 licensed amateur radio operators in this country, I think the overwhelming majority are not particularly active. Most of those licenses are technicians, so that's UHF, VHF, and no HF to speak of. So I'm not quite sure if there's that much demand. As it is, unfortunately, most modern-day cars with their massive electronic modules make operating a radio kind of problematic. It's not very difficult for radio transmitters to interfere with the electronics of modern-day cars and wreak havoc. So, you know, if you asked automobile manufacturers about interfacing amateur radio equipment, they probably rather you didn't put an amateur radio anywhere near their sophisticated electronics in their cars.
I've seen a number of setups where they have first responders out there with these Humvees with all these antennas and all these things on them, able to communicate with satellite and local two-way and all kinds of things. So I'm sure there's not much of a demand for those either, like, you know, for each state, and then you're done, I think.
Yeah, I mean, those are custom configurations, the few and far between, and they're kludged. I mean, sometimes there are websites that actually will show you the insides of cars, of amateur radio operators who probably need to seek out psychiatric help, and they're just wall-to-wall radios kind of stuck to each other with Velcro. You know, to an absurd extent. But, you know, you can kludge things together. It's just that I don't think this hobby is ever going to have the number of hobbyists that warrants a manufactured solution for these things. Well, let me try out one more time. I continue to be AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 p.m. To help people with technical issues, discuss technical topics, and hopefully explain a few things or have them explained to us. So once again, if you're out there and so inclined and you have a question or a comment to make tonight, please hit that push to talk and give me your first name and your call sign. Okay, it looks like it's going to be a real short session tonight. I know that you kind of stuck for time, William. Do you have enough time to do a quick little tech puzzle for the night, and then we'll just call it an early night?
Kings County Radio Club holds exam sessions every 2 months regularly. Please check KingsCountyRadioClub.com for more information.
It's a weird announcement. I haven't heard that one before. Yeah, I could do that. Puzzle.kcrc.net, right?
Yes,
It's kc2rc.com. We don't have any nets. We have comms.
The link in my phone, so I didn't remember it clearly.
Yeah, it's all text, so I can read it to you and to Bob. It says if a radio transmission is picked up on an antenna via both ground wave propagation and sky wave propagation, then the probable result will be, and you have four choices. A is fading of the signal. B is interference to adjacent channels. C is a decrease in the impedance of the antenna. And D is an increase in the signal's bandwidth. So if anyone would like to hazard a guess tonight, please feel free.
Just look at that question and think about it a little bit. I don't really know that right off the top of my head. What about you, Bob? You got a shot at this?
I don't really know it either. I could take a guess.
Would you repeat it one more time before you tell the answer after he makes his guess?
Certainly. The question is, if a radio transmission is picked up on an antenna using both its ground wave propagation and its sky wave propagation, then the probable result of that signal is either A, fading of the signal, B, interference to the adjacent channels, C, a decrease in the impedance of the antenna, or D, an increase in the signal bandwidth.
I don't know. I would just say it's going to be fading. There could be some kind of interference between the antennas, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Bob, you want to say your opinion of what's the best?
It's a fading that's caused sort of by interference of the two modes of propagation, but I don't know if that was on the list.
Well, the first answer is fading of the signal.
Well, that makes sense. And you don't need to know why. That's just the answer. Okay. Well, thanks for that, Roy.
Okay. I mean, it's a combination of things because propagation distances can differ. You can have interactions where the two signals don't line up perfectly and you have negative interference and positive interference. And also, propagation through sky wave is much more erratic than ground wave. Ionization, fields... ebb and flow and change. There's also Faraday rotation, where the polarization angle of the sky wave rotates, so it might fade when it's rotated into a horizontal polarization and you're using a vertical antenna and such. So, you know, that's probably why no single answer was given for why the fading is. It wouldn't interfere on any other channels. It's the same frequency. It's just a different path. It wouldn't have any effect on the impedance of the antenna, and it wouldn't increase its signal's bandwidth either. So, but, you know, you could just kind of remove B, C, and D just by the nature of physics, and you're still left with a fading of the signal.
Sorry, Bob. Was that your guess, or were you going to go for something else?
First, I was thinking C, but actually, I was looking at it again. I was thinking, leaning more towards A, even before you said it. I said, yeah, it's probably because they're, I don't know, in different phases with each other, and it might kind of get in each other's way and fade. That's kind of what I was thinking.
I think that's really tricky. That makes me want to have two antennas, a vertical and a horizontal, so I can switch back and forth like some people do on the 10-meter net.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a whole field diversity reception in which you have a horizontal and a vertical, and you can do simple things like I used to do when I had two antennas on HF. I had one feeding my right ear and one feeding my left ear. So I could actually listen to Faraday rotation from guys transmitting down in Florida. While they were communicating, ordinarily it just sounded like they faded in and out. But, you know, the way I had it set up is they faded out of one ear and faded into the other ear and back and forth, because they weren't just fading out, they were rotating. So, things like that go on.
Did you get a little stereophonic effect from that?
Not really. You had different voice noise levels and such. It's not quality high enough to make any sense of phase separation that goes into proper stereo signals.
Okay, sorry. I just heard somebody on the HF the other day, and came booming in from far away. But then they went right away again, so that was strange. So I'm sure there was a lot of strange things going on in the atmosphere for that.
Well, you know, it's the unpredictability of radio bands that make this hobby more interesting. If everything was consistent, like cell towers and such, then you just buy yourself a cell phone and limit yourself to that. But you never know when a band will open up, and when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're talking to some guy right next to South Africa. Haven't been contacted from that guy in Namibia named Mike for a couple of months now. But we did talk to Canada this Sunday, so that was nice.
The other good point is you're not paying a monthly fee to some corporation to be able to do this.
I guess so, but, you know, you pay money in a different way, ultimately. You always end up paying money.
Thanks for your great advice. Listen, thank you very much for doing the TechNet, Roy. I think I'm going to run along. Thanks also to Bob. I'm glad you were able to come out in field day and spend the night. There was a weird email that said people were maybe not going to do that, so thank you very much for coming through and helping out the club. It's fantastic. I think we're going to have a great meeting next week.
Yeah, William, that I sent out the emails because Berlot sent me an email that it was 3 days before the field day and no one had told her that they were going to stay the night. And quite rightly, she didn't want to leave all the equipment behind at night, so she was precariously close to canceling field day because of that. So that's why I sent everyone and their brother an email, and we were able to get Bob and Max to stay overnight.
A couple other people stayed overnight. Well, obviously Sean did. He was it was his radio, and this other guy, I just don't know his name. There were at least four or five of us actually.
Ah, very good. How were the mosquitoes?
Well, the mosquitoes were fine, but I was prepared. I had a whole bunch of DEET stuff. I already had this DEET stuff I'd bought in Canada 20 years ago, and I learned that the shelf life is basically infinity, and it's 100% DEET. And I thought you couldn't sell that in the States, because, you know, supposedly it's not good for you to put lots of DEET on yourself all the time. But I saw some Deep Woods Off in a drugstore, and I bought it because it's at 98 point something or other percent DEET. So I had both of those, and so with that, it was okay. But they're always out there. You know, the dawn and dusk are the times when the bugs are the worst. That's just the way it is everywhere. I don't know what it is about them that they come out at those times when the sun's climbing up or the sun's going down.
Okay, well, it's good that you were prepared, and hopefully as time goes on, we'll hear more stories. I certainly expect a few people to tell their tales next Wednesday for the general meeting.
Yes, there'll be some stories, and we can talk about getting all the pictures up there and all that other stuff. So I guess that's next week.
Yes, indeed, next week, starting at 7 o'clock on. And, you know, before you know it, it'll be July. So, the first Wednesday in July.
Okay, Roy, Bob, thanks for the TechNet. I'm going to say 73 and have a great evening. This is AC2ZV. Clear.
Do you want to try throwing out a pull for questions one more time?
Yeah, I'll do that in a second. William, you doubled with Bill, with Bob again. 73, William. Have a good week, and hopefully I'll talk to you again next Wednesday for the general meeting.
And hope we chatted long enough for somebody to get home and pick up the radio and think they have a technical question for you. Okay, good night, Bob. Good night, Roy.
Okay, we'll try it one last time for the night. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 9 p.m. So if there's anyone out there with any technical questions or topics for discussion or comments to be made, then please hit that push-to-talk button. Give us your first name and your call sign. Oh, well, it looks like it was just the three of us. Bob, if you have any closing comments, feel free.
I can't think of any right now. So I guess we'll close up. So I'll always enjoy these nets, and I guess that's all for now. Back to you, Roy. That's 82 NVB.
What can you do? Some nights are livelier than others. I think last time we quit around 5 or 10 after 11. It just went on and on and on, thankfully. But, yeah, you can't have it that way all the time. Thank you very much, Bob, for your help in this endeavor. We've been doing this for a couple of years now, so I'm glad you're enjoying it. That's the point of this hobby. If you're not having fun, you're doing it all wrong.
Indeed, because that's what the whole point of it all. I guess I'll say 73s for now, and see you at the meeting, and then see you the following week at the TechNet.
Yes, indeed. This net has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York, and we meet on the first Wednesday of each and every month. Our next meeting will be July 5th, which will be held by teleconference. Club members will be emailed with the details to log into the meeting. Non-members wishing to join a general club meeting can email me, AC2GS, with some form of identification for the required link. Although our meetings informally begin at 7 p.m., our formal regular general meeting starts at 8 p.m. and continues anywhere from 8:30 to 10 o'clock, depending upon the number of points that are covered. We have a weekly 2-meter club net on every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on this repeater. This technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesday of each month at 9 p.m. We also sponsor a 10-meter net every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. on 28.380 megahertz upper sideband. We offer an audio stream of our KC2RC repeater on the internet, as well as our 10-meter net, by typing into your browser stream.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when a fellow hams join our clubs, and an application is readily available on our club's website. In addition to our club net, the Columbia University Amateur Radio Club holds a small net every Monday night at 9 p.m. on our repeater, so if you want to listen in, and I'm told they love to have participation, so if you want to say hello, feel free. If you would like to contact the host of this technical net, simply address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com, which offers archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original articles, and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website hosting services are generously donated by the local Brooklyn-based web hosting company, 3 Aliens Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen a bit more and talk a bit less. It's time to roll this all up and shut it all down, but we'll be back here July 12th to do it all over again, and you're all welcome. So thanks to everyone who participated tonight, especially my co-host, Bob, KD2NVB. Without you guys, I would just be talking to myself. This is Roy, AC2GS, going clear and getting the heck out of here. Have a good week, everyone. This is AC2GS, clear.